Return to the Lord. These are the words of the prophet Joel, and I'm guessing he probably said it something like that. Return to the Lord. That's often how we hear it, as a command, as maybe a rebuke on a day where we feel pretty crummy about ourselves. We're all wearing these black ashen crosses, convicting us that we are sinful, we are unclean. None of us have it together. So we hear, return to the Lord. I don't think Joel's saying it like that, though. Hear once more how Joel puts it. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That sounds more like a welcome, an invitation rather than a command, doesn't it? Return to the Lord. Those are the same kind of words that we, in a lot of our local area churches, said maybe this last spring. Return to the Lord. We need you. We need people in our lives. We need a fellowship of believers. A church needs people. People need a church. Return to the Lord. It's an invitation because we're missing you. We want you. We desperately want to have a relationship with you again. Return to the Lord. Please. We want to be with you again. I think that's something that Joel's maybe putting it like. Because we heard earlier today, these words from the first book of the Bible, Genesis. He said these words to Adam, and I can't just imagine how terrible he would have felt. You see, Adam was the only person in the history of mankind that wasn't born. You ever think about that? God took the dust and ground of the earth, molded him like clay, just the way he wanted him. And he got down and breathed into his nostrils the very breath of life. And when Adam and Eve messed up as bad as anybody could do, God says these words to Adam, the dusty man, Adam, made from Adama, the dust of the ground. His name means the dusty man. And God says to him, you are dust, and to dust you will return. He was just enjoying the paradise, walking with God as a man walks with his brother. And now he has a penalty that he can never return to. He's thrown out of the garden. He's thrown out of paradise. And the rest of his life, he has to handle thorns and thistles and eat bread and just sweat. Meanwhile, his wife Eve probably has always given him a glance like, you messed it up. No, you messed it up. No, it was the serpent. We're all messed it up. And they're bickering probably their whole life. Maybe that's where a lot of us get it from. But they couldn't help it. They saw the sparkly thing. They saw that the fruit was good, and so they took it. So God drove them out, but not without a promise. Yes, he gave a command. A big booming voice from our Lord God thunders in the garden. But it's kind of like the prophet Joel. Remember what God said to Adam when he first found out? Of course, God knew before it was going to happen, but he says this to Adam. Where are you? He misses him. Why did you run away from me? We were just together. And then he gives a promise to Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You can remember that because it's a whole lot like the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. Where we know, for God so loved the world, so on and so forth. Genesis 3:15 says, the serpent will bruise your heel, but that child of Eve will crush his head. And that's a promise from our Lord. That's a promise of the Savior. You see, God doesn't bring penalty upon his people without giving them a way out. Ever. So when the Lord God says, "Return to me," he gives us a way out. Now, I'm reminded of that this Ash Wednesday. Growing up as a boy in the church, I always got excited about the different colors of the church, right? When, say, like on Advent, it's all blue and you have these really cool candles. Then on Christmas and Easter, it's white. And then on Lent, it's purple. But on like a couple days of the year, it's like mixed and you have black. And I always thought it was weird. Like, why do I only have black on like 2 days of the year? On Good Friday and Ash Wednesday. Again, these are thoughts from a young boy that ended up becoming a pastor, so maybe not really the norm. So be careful what you think about. But as I think about it, it reminds me of what I have on today. You might see a lot of priests and pastors, especially in formal wear, wearing a suit of black, maybe a black stole, to remind us that we're yoked to Christ. But as you're looking at me, as you're looking at the black, you got this little thinger right here, the clerical collar. And it's really tight on purpose, right? It almost like they're choking you. Maybe that's a way to keep preachers from doing too much talking. But actually, there's a point to this. Underneath the white robes that I will wear on Sunday, oftentimes I will wear this collar. Maybe if I'm at a funeral or a wedding, special services, I'll bust out the traditional garb. But this little collar reminds me that I am nothing. I am dark and sinful and black. There's nothing good in me. I'm a sinner just like any one of you, the worst of them all. And the only thing good about me is this little tab. Because you see, it's right in front of my vocal cords. Right where the Word of God comes from. That's the only thing good about me. That's the only thing good about any of us. That we have God speaking through us, acting through us, living through us, breathing through us, much like Adam in the garden. This little cowl reminds me of that. And it's good that we sometimes wear black. It's good that sometimes we take a time to trace the cross on our forehead. It's good for some of us to wear black because it reminds us that we don't have it together. Neither does the rest of the world. So I got to thinking, this is kind of fun. I think there's a point to this. The proclamation, "Return to the Lord," means that, yes, we have messed up royally. We might feel and dark and dirty and as black as can be in life. We might have it a really hard time. But there's always a little bit of light at the end. There's always a little glimmer of hope that God shines forth. He always gives us a promise. There's a way out. We know the end of the story. So return to the Lord, he says. And that's why God places sinful guys like me up here, a man in black. I got thinking, there's a song called that. I like country music. Some of you guys might too. Back in the day, there's a man named Johnny Cash. Some of you might know him. He sang this song. I'm going to play it for you tonight because it helps us reflect upon this Ash Wednesday that regardless of the colors you have on tonight, we all take a little black on our backs. So here it is, "The Man in Black."
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the times. I wear the black for those who've never read or listen to the words that Jesus said about the way to happiness through love and charity. Why, you'd think he's talking straight to you and me. Well, we're doing mighty fine, I do suppose, in our streak of lightning cars and fancy clothes. But just so we're reminded of the ones who are held back, up front there ought to be a man in black. I wear it for the sick and the lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. I wear the black in mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. And I wear it for the thousands who have died, believing that the Lord was on their side. I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side. But there's things that never will be right, I know, and things need changing everywhere you go. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. Oh, I'd love to wear a rainbow every day and tell the world that everything's okay. But I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back till things are brighter. I'm the man in black.
So, that's why I'm dressed the way I am tonight for you, in a little way. But remember today, as you go, regardless of what you wear, we wear the black of our sin, knowing full well that it's going to be covered and is covered by our Lord Jesus, who is slow to anger, gracious and merciful to you. Remember that this Lent as we delve deeper into this darkness and out in this dark and cold world, that you get to wear the black for the people that need to hear the same love of Jesus for you. So let us return to the Lord. Amen.